bullying and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in a child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Don't forget, bottom of this hour, we'll be live in Punjab, India, with another one of our weekly outreaches that we do there in Punjab, in an unreached village, an unreached area. And so you are invited to join us. That'll be coming up at the bottom of this hour. Very pleased to have on the program, holding with the international flavor, if you will, of today's program, and I'm very pleased to welcome to the program, live from Zimbabwe, Africa, I want to welcome economic analyst and also an international writer and journalist, Victor Boroma. Victor, welcome. Good to have you with me. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for the welcome remarks, Pastor Greg. Thank you for having me, and good day to your viewers and listeners.
Well, we were kind of getting into some of the relational things that are going on between the United States of America and Africa, and then talking about, you know, where Africa is going in the future. With China and Russia and the bigger players that are on the field. We talked a little bit about America seems to have decided this administration and the Obama administration before that if nations are not willing to fully embrace the LGBT alphabet agenda, then assistance and relationship and so forth is going to be dramatically impacted. Is that a miscalculation by the American government?
Yeah, I think I would characterize it as such. Because when you look at historically, the moral and, the social background of most African states, especially in sub-Saharan Africa, you realize that Christianity plays a very key role in the moral fabric. So then that means that the culture is quite different from what you have in Western countries, in Europe. So what I would obviously recommend is more or less a cautious approach, because even besides what the governments in those particular countries view on LGBT, you realize that a greater majority of the population do not align with LGBT, and it's something that morally they do not support. So I think there is a need of caution in tying or more like intertwining business or economic relations with acceptance of such rights.
In America's case, it's in this administration as well as in the Obama administration, you know, prior to President Trump, that seemed to be a really major thing. I mean, I know that one of the Haiti, I believe it is, most recently has said that they are not recognizing the ambassadors of the United States because it is two men that are married.
Yeah, obviously, it's the view is that such unions are foreign to African countries, and they're quite foreign to the religion that is followed in most of those African states. And like I highlighted, what I believe in terms of foreign relations, what is necessary is to assess the views of the greater population in each country that the United States is dealing with. And I believe that America possesses enough arsenal in terms of intelligence to be able to gather those particular views. And as long as the views are largely anti, obviously that's the direction that most of the leaders in African countries will definitely take. And you realize that it may take a bit of time, probably 2 decades or so, to have some level of acceptance or tolerance to that. So that's the reason why I think the idea of trading with caution is quite the best, I think, for America at the moment.
As far as Zimbabwe is concerned, one of the major characteristics of their economy is that they are a free market economy. Am I correct?
It's not entirely that, Pastor Craig.
Okay.
I think it depends on the economic sectors that you are analyzing or that you are looking at. I'll give you, for example, in the 1990s, the Postal and Telecommunications Company, which was a government state entity, was privatized. So when it was privatized, that's where you have got your Tel 1, which is a fixed line operator. That's where Net 1 came from, which is a mobile telecommunications operator. And that's where Telecel, which is partly and partly government, came from. Then there is also a private player called Econet Wireless, which I'm sure you're quite aware was founded by Strive Masiwa. So all those entities came from the PTC in the 1990s. So that was a successful case of deregulation and free market economics in telecommunications. So by and large, the telecommunication sector in Zimbabwe has got free market. The regulator plays a role, obviously, when it comes to pricing, but otherwise it's free market. But then you move on, you go to other sectors such as energy generation and distribution. They are largely dominated by the state. You go to media. The state obviously plays a very key role there. You go to agriculture. In as much as the commodities exchange is actually coming back to light now, but the government plays a very key role in terms of financing, marketing, regulation, subsidies in the agricultural sector. In mining, you have got partly government and partly private sector, depending on the mineral that you are talking about. So I would say Zimbabwe is a classic example of a mixed economy where there is more government involvement in regulation in other sectors such as mining and agriculture, and less government involvement in other economic sectors.
So is that mean that it leans to a more socialistic concept, or how would you view Zimbabwe from that perspective?
I would say they are, you know, a small you know, factor of socialism, but to be honest, I would say the government in itself has tried by all means to move towards free market capitalism. Obviously, due to it could be pressure or due to the need to improve international relations. I'll give you for example, most of the mining commodities, let me just put in some figures here. Last year alone, which is 2022, Zimbabwe exported mining commodities worth $5.7 billion. And those mining commodities obviously are destined for, you know, for the Far East, South Africa, which is the major trading partner for Zimbabwe. But South Africa in turn sells the processed mining commodities to the European Union. So that means in as much as there might not be direct relationship, you realize that the mining sector in by its nature in Zimbabwe, it's outward looking. So that means that there is a lot of, you know, capitalism in terms of how mining operations are operated in Zimbabwe. I also gave the example of telecommunication sector. If you look at real estate, if you look at financial sector, some of these sectors exercise some greater degree of capitalism. And you have seen that actually they have actually thrived. Where we have got issues, one area which I may mention here is the financial sector in the foreign exchange market, where the government has played an oversized role, obviously, in the pricing of foreign exchange. We have seen a number of policies back and forth in terms of the currency of trade, high levels of inflation, actually hyperinflation. So where there is high levels of regulation, or government control, you can see that those sectors have limited efficiency, and there is a challenge, obviously, with artificial demand for such commodities in those sectors.
All right, now you wrote in a paper in the Zimbabwe briefing. It's entitled "Income Redistribution to the Vulnerable Through Budgeting." Why do you argue that the government should play a role in income redistribution as opposed to allowing the market to play itself out and create opportunities for people to rise out of whatever circumstance they find themselves and then bridge that gap or even perhaps, you know, fill more of a middle class role, because it looks like we're talking about a two class system and no opportunity to move up into a middle class. Why is that?
All right. So I think it is important for us to appreciate what is prevailing on the ground. So Zimbabwe has been that particular country where there has not been stability in terms of currency. So because of that, the economy also suffers because of that. So now what it has done, we might not be at the levels where South Africa is, but Zimbabwe is by and large a very unequal economy and a very unequal country, where you have got the top tier 5% of the population consuming probably 80% to 90% of goods and services. So in that particular article, the advocacy or what I was pushing for is that we have got the bottom tier, and the impact of hyperinflation or inflation in the past 5 years has rendered a certain class or disadvantaged groups in Zimbabwe, such as pensioners. I'll give you, for example, pensioners. The National Social Security Authority, which is obviously mandated with managing the pension scheme, has got over 85,000 pensioners.
Okay.
So pensioners were actually taking home less than $15, $15 US dollars per month in 2021, in 2022. Obviously, they were paid in local currency, but when you convert to the greenback, their earnings were very, very, very paltry. So now there are certain situations and circumstances where you can argue that income redistribution, which by any means in every country there is, you could have social safety nets in America, obviously, for certain disadvantaged groups. But however, it's in the identification of those groups, number one, in the implementation of such policies, and ensuring that the percentage of the income that is redistributed is very, very insignificant. It could be less than 3% of the budget. But however, the idea is to ensure that that particular interest group, for example, I'll give you pregnant women in Zimbabwe. There is very high mortality in Zimbabwe for newborns. So obviously, foreign aid, in, with particular recognition, America has been playing a very significant role in terms of funding Zimbabwe's health sector, even more than the government itself.
Okay.
So in those circumstances, that's where you can argue that income redistribution to the marginalized groups that are bearing the brunt of economic instability is actually a noble idea. And the idea is that the middle class in Zimbabwe is very small. It's either rich or largely the very large base of poor and extremely poor people.
So it really is predicated on some of this sounds like it's historic, and some of it sounds like it's structure. I don't know, social construct, if you will, and how that's viewed. Is that am I understanding it correctly?
Yes, you have pointed out correctly. There are obviously historical aspects to it. I'll give you, for example, you look at most of the pensioners, that are, leaving government or the civil service at the moment, having worked 20 to 25 years in government, most of those people are taking home less than 2,500 United States dollars as their pension. Why? Because of the impact of inflation. We have had two instances in 2009 and in 2019 where inflation wiped out, pension savings. So in those particular instances, that's why I was arguing that you will realize that in the absence of free market, policies that would promote employment creation, income redistribution due to supply and demand factors, there are certain instances where the government can be able to act in obviously in an efficient way.
Now, when you say pensioner, are you talking about someone who's retired or some? Is that correct?
Yes, it is correct. So okay. In Zimbabwe, the retirement age is 70 years of age.
Okay.
So if you're 70 years of age, if you've been working in the civil service, then you, unless if there are grounds, obviously, such as in the military, but otherwise for the general civil service, you have to take, you have to retire.
Okay. The other thing that it sounds like to me when you're talking about, because when in the Western mind, when we think about income redistribution, we think about the government taking our hard-earned money, what we've earned, okay, from us involuntarily, and giving it to somebody who is choosing perhaps not to work. Like, as an example right now, and we covered this a little bit yesterday, we have people who are illegally entering our country who are being given money and housing and food, while people who are citizens of this country have no economic opportunity whatsoever and are homeless on the streets or are living in shanty shacks.
Yeah, I think the concept is slightly different from what I was referring to. Here, it's not entirely taxing the rich or entirely taking a portion of their income. How it has been applied in Zimbabwe in the past is that the government has got more or less social grants that are part of the budget. So in the portfolio of the budgeted funds that are collected by the government, that is where marginalized groups such as school children, pensioners, etc. receive a portion. Otherwise, it's not entirely something that has to be introduced. It's already there. The provision is already there. If you actually go through all of Zimbabwe's budget since independence, since 1980, there's a provision for social safety nets. That's what I was referring to.
Right. Okay. So it's not really a matter of increasing or taking necessary. I mean, it's already being taken. It is a tax process. There are taxes that are already being taken out and money that is there. But for the most part, these are things that the people have agreed upon. We're going to run out of time here, but real quick, one of the other issues that I know is discussed throughout Africa has to do just with general corruption. I was in Nigeria. I remember as we traveled around Nigeria, we went to the Republic of Benin, that it seemed like in each area, you know, we'd have to stop. The people that were with us would go out. There'd have to be a negotiation in order to be able to pass from one zone, so to speak, into the next zone. And you know, we had power would go out at night, and so the generator would come on in the place that we were staying, and those kinds of things. Is that widespread? And what do you think the answer is to that?
Yeah, corruption is a real problem in sub-Saharan Africa. I would argue there are varying degrees of corruption in every country. But what we have witnessed in Zimbabwe in particular, in the past, I would say, 6 years or so, is the level of brazenness, you know, open cases of corruption where government resources or state resources are used for individual or household benefit or individual benefit has reached alarming levels. Let me give you an example.
Sure.
I'm not talking about speculation here. I'm actually talking about information that is contained in the Auditor General report. So the government Auditor General would audit all government state-owned enterprises, parastatals, local authorities, all those departments. There are millions of United States dollars that would be highlighted. For example, a classic case, you would realize that the state power utility, Zimbabwe Electricity Supply, the National Social Security, Zimbabwe National Roads Administration, all those would be cited in each year in the Auditor General reports, missing millions, in some cases going up to 175 million. And the worst part is, after the Auditor General having, you know, flagged these cases of corruption, there is not much prosecution that would happen. So what it means is that even at a small level, in the private sector, at the local council level, corruption is happening in broad daylight. And okay. It has reached an alarming level where it is now out of control. So I'm sure you could have been privileged to watch an Al Jazeera exposure on the transactions of gold in Zimbabwe. If you have not, you can go through on YouTube. Okay. You will realize that the level of illicit, you know, corruption that is happening, obviously with state connected persons or politically exposed persons in the transfer, it could be of diamonds, precious minerals such as gold and all that, is shocking. Yeah. So in terms of how to solve it, I think I've got one best answer. Set a good precedence for all prosecuted cases of corruption.
Yeah.
Such that everyone who wants to engage in corruption will first think that if I steal or do something, this is what will happen to me. This is the law. Everyone should be under the law, in my own view. So that's the best way to deal with corruption. Prosecute all cases and deal decisively with all those that are involved in corrupt activities.
You gotta send a message through law and order. No question about it. No question about it. Victor, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. It's been very insightful. I've learned an awful lot about what's going on in Zimbabwe and the challenges that your country faces and the fight that you guys are fighting. Sounds a lot like the battle that we're battling right here in America, actually.
Even worse.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Well, thank you very much for being with me today. I greatly appreciate it, sir.
Thank you so much, Pastor Craig. We have a good day.
All right. Okay. By the way, what time is it there?
Right now it's 4:29 in the afternoon.
Okay. All right. So you're kind of at the end of your day almost.
Yes, at the end of the day.
End of the work day anyway.
Yes, true.
All right, very good. Well, we're at 9:29 a.m. So I got a lot of work left to do.
Yeah, for sure. Thank
all right, so thank you, sir. God bless you. We're going to take a break, folks. When we come back, we should be going live to India coming up right after this brief break. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen-size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king-size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.